Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Chai Chat, Creating New Worlds at Work. I'm Victoria Vitier, Enlightened Life Coach and Consultant, and my co-host today and always is Mary Rockenstein. Mary, how you doing out there?
I'm doing great, Victoria. I hope all of our listeners are having a great day and a great week so far as well, and I'm excited about our show today.
Oh, this is going to be a really awesome show, everyone. We have a special guest coming on in a second or two here. And this is the fourth show in a series of very important shows that we have focused on women and work and gender and work. Right, Mary? Why don't you kind of walk them through the review quickly of the past three shows, and then we'll get into
today's. Let me take you on a really quick walk down memory lane. So I think the most startling statistic that we talked about in our last couple of shows was that right now it's estimated to take about 25 years here for women to reach gender parity at the senior VP level and more than 100 years to reach gender parity at the C-suite level. And ironically, this all kind of connects when you really dig into the data, and I would encourage our listeners to go back and listen to these wonderful shows because you get a lot of information about why we are where we are today. But, you know, largely the path to the C-suite has been through what we refer to as line leadership positions, and men have typically held the majority, like 65% of the line leadership positions, whereas women hold the majority of staff positions or staff leadership positions. So it's no wonder that women in this country only represent about 2-3% of CEOs in Fortune 500 companies. Further challenging, though, are kind of like you kind of scratch your head and say, how can this be? Because women are still earning the majority of bachelor's, master's, and doctorate degrees. So, you know, we years ago we used to talk about a glass ceiling. You know, we've, through McKinsey and their research, we're referring to this more and more as a leaky pipeline. There is a pathway for women to enter leadership, but it's disproportionately stressful. And in the last two shows, listen if you hadn't, because we really talked about a number of workplace challenges. And we know that men and women come at things very differently, and that can be very beneficial, you know, very holistic. But the bottom line is we do have to provide some mitigation to really level the playing field for women. So, you know, one of the things we need to challenge women to do is to enter more line leadership positions. If that's the pathway to the C-suite, let's start giving women, you know, the courage that they need to be able to do that. Pay equity. Right now, women earn about 81 cents to the dollar as compared to men. And promotional equity. We know that when given stretch assignments or promotional opportunities, women are typically judged on past performance, where men are judged based on potential. So we need to level that. If it's potential, then women should be judged based on potential too. Women also need sponsors. And then lastly, because women have a tendency to maybe lack the self-confidence, the self-esteem, the courage I talked about, when giving women, you know, a stretch assignment, that's where sponsors can come in, because a woman will typically turn down something that she doesn't feel 100% confident that she can tackle, whereas a man will jump in with both feet, even if he really doesn't have, you know, the skill, ability, or knowledge to do it very well. So again, quick walk down memory lane, but Victoria, let's get into our wonderful show today. How about if you introduce our topic and our very special guest?
Well, absolutely. Today's show, and Mary's just giving you an excellent walk down our review lane here about the shows we've done on American United States picture, but we're going to go global today, and we have a very special guest online, Anna Letitia Cook. She is from the UK, but now working in France. Good morning. Actually, it's good afternoon over there, isn't it, Anna? Welcome to
yes,
our show.
Hello. Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you for joining us and making time in your afternoon there, your busy consulting afternoon. Won't you tell the audience a little bit about, you know, what you do in terms of your roles, and then we'll get into some of the really juicy stuff about giving us a global perspective here.
Okay, well, basically, I'm a gender and career balance strategist, and I focus particularly on women's entrepreneurship, working mainly with women so they get more fulfillment and more enjoyment from their careers rather than just all this stress and pressure. And also with the 50-plus age group, because in different countries, you can find a very different view towards ageism, whereas I believe that they have so much experience that 50-plus women are just the treasure. They're the best that you can
mm-hmm.
possibly find. So I enjoy
wow.
doing that. I've also got the experience from working in several different industries like press, oil, media, and also
mm.
several countries. I've been in Bermuda, Spain, France, and the UK as the main countries that I've lived and worked in, but also a few months in the States, in Canada, and in Italy. So I've got quite a good
wow.
vision on the differences that there are and the different challenges that women can have in countries and internationally.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, I'm going to ask you to sign on as our global correspondent. Will you do that and be our official global correspondent?
I'll be delighted.
Oh, that's so exciting. Okay. So what we want to know is, hey, oh, you also have a book. Please tell people. This was to be the launch date, right? But it's going to come out
oh, yes,
then in sir. August. Tell us about your book.
Yes. Today should have been the day, but unfortunately it's got held up in the sort of editing office. The book, I started it because I find with the women that I'm working with, so many of them are not, they're not unhappy exactly, but they're not necessarily happy in what they're doing. So it's with an idea of finding a lot more about what they really do want to do so they can have maximum fulfillment and also achieve success. Because there's nothing that says that you have to be miserable to be successful. So the book's all about that and trying to help women understand their options, have real freedom of choice, and how they can approach the challenge of getting that and staying in a good mental environment, a good mindset, not only at work but also in life, because when you have a lot of changes, it can affect all parts of your life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's 360. Well, we're going to get into here in a little bit in part three of the show a bit about a paradigm shift. And I think we're kind of hinting at that now by saying, can a woman, in fact, have success in a traditional sense and yet be happy? And so this
yeah.
may take a bit of a paradigm shift. So we'll get to that in a little bit. But my lead question, Anna, for you is, what's the state of workplace gender parity in the UK and Europe and France, where you're working now? Tell us a little bit about the scene there for women.
Okay, well, in the UK, they had the Lord Davis report, and it was a board that was set up in 2010 to encourage top boards and top companies to double at least the number of women on the board. And it was all done by targeting and objectives and not by quotas. So, in fact, in 4 years, they doubled. They went from 12-point-something% up to 26%
wow.
on the FTSE 100 boards, which I think is excellent.
Wow.
Now there are no all-male boards in the FTSE 100, and there's only 15 male boards in the FTSE 250, which I think is an amazing progress. And they
wow.
aim by 2020 to have 33%.
Wow.
But that, comparing that to France, in fact, is doing even better. France now has a law that they have to have 40% of women on the boards by 2017,
wow.
which is very good. At the moment, there's about 35%. And
wow.
as from next year, if they're going to make any changes on the boards, if they're not contributing to meeting the target, they can't make the changes. So I think the attitude over here in Europe is generally much more pro-women, pro-equality, and really moving quickly to get it. I mean, for example, in the UK now, 26%, France, 35%, Germany's about 19%. But in France, in 2006, there were only 8%. So
wow.
That shows in 10 years, they've really improved. However, some of the problems are there just aren't that many women available or interested in being on the board. So although there's definitely discrimination still existing in some aspects, there's also the view that it's not always the thing that they really want to do. So a lot of the board members in France aren't French. They've been imported from other countries.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So
and that's
I
interesting.
Think that,
because,
yeah,
go ahead.
Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
There's also something else that I just found today. I was talking to one of my HR directors and someone who does employment law as well. And in France, there's a lot of professional elections in companies for staff representative, union representative, things like that. And now on the list for electing candidates, they have to have the same number of men and women available to vote for.
Ah.
Things like that I find interesting. Then when you take it, sorry.
Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
When you take it down to the traditional women's problems of maternity leave, maternity pay, and how that can affect things, the maternity pay and leave, both in France and in the UK, is really quite good. In France, they get 4 months paid leave, but they can take a lot more if they want, which is then changed into parental leave. In the UK, they get, I think it's 39 weeks paid maternity leave, but they're entitled to have 52 weeks maternity leave. And in the first 6 months when they come back to work, they have to be given the same job. If it's after 6 months, they have to be given a similar job. So
wow.
That, I think, is quite advanced. I think it can go a lot further, obviously, but I think they're trying hard. They're trying to go in the right direction and really be supportive.
And all of these changes were promoted by government initiative, largely?
Yes, to a certain extent, but also by business. For example, in the UK, there's something called I think it's the 30% Club, which was created by somebody in business to try and encourage companies to aim for having 30% women on the board. So that was purely, you know, economical, a business initiative.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
then the governments are very much trying to have equality, not just in companies, but in everything. So for ministers, for members of parliament, education, everything.
And I'm curious, this is really very, very interesting. I'm wondering how, from your perspective, how have the men in these organizations embraced this? Do they view this as, yay, finally gender parity, because women do add a lot of value, and there are studies that show that? At least over here, we've done research that really shows that when women are on boards, you know, the profitability of the company is increased. So are men embracing this, or do they kind of view this sort of like a, well, you know, it's what we have to do right now to satisfy these requirements?
It depends. You still get some of the more traditionally minded men who, I think they still have the view that women are sort of lower management and that's it. But
mm-hmm.
I would say the majority of the people that I work with and the majority of companies I know, the CEOs in particular really do value women in the company. And I've had a couple of companies who voluntarily have given me the statistics of the better results that they've had from their women managers in charge of specific teams compared to the men managers.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the team leaders that I work with, there's a couple of men who've got teams of like 100, 120, something like that. And I've asked, when they're looking to recruit new managers, what's their criteria and what's their vision on gender balance? And they've been, well, there is no gender balance. It's just a person is there to do a job, whether they're man, woman, whatever color, whatever religion, anything, it's just not relevant. As long as they're positive and they have good results and they've got a happy attitude, they want to support their team, for them, that's all that matters. And they appreciate having the mix of men and women because they find that that gives different solutions and can, in fact, advance considerably some of the complicated projects they've got because they have the interaction between men and women. They have the different vision. And
yeah.
That can lead them to a faster and more effective solution.
That's excellent.
Wow.
I've had some men looking to promote some of the women in their team, and they can't understand why the women don't want to be promoted.
Yeah.
Well, that's a very good segue because what we're looking at here is a traditional system that is now trying to make gendered energy, not just male physical, female physical, but the blending of energies, the blending of what female aptitudes are, as enculturated in females generally, and what male aptitudes are, and getting a good cooperative, collaborative mix of these balances. That is not the system that any of us has known over the past, 80, 90 years of workplace history. It has been a more hierarchical, control-based, masculinist kind of paradigm, has it not, even in Europe?
Yes. Yes. Oh, yes, okay. Definitely. I mean, I would say a lot of these ideas and the progressive attitude is in the last 5-10 years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I remember when I first started work, I started in the city. And the city, is real traditional, financial, very much the man at the head and the woman's the secretary. So when I first started, yes, there were some women managers, but not many. Whereas now I think they've developed far more into the idea that they can actually have better equity by having women, better financial results because the different way women look at things, there's less high risk. So they're really enjoying the complementary strengths and the complementary viewpoint.
But this is a shift, too, because the first women, the women pioneers who went into those roles were scarier than the men because they had to be more male than the males in order to dance backwards and in high heels, as the partner to what already had been so rigidly established. But we're looking at this sort of evolution of women being more, as more women get into these positions, they can sort of relax and become more themselves.
Yep.
They have more colleagues that are also women, et cetera, et cetera. And men are beginning to be able to exercise aspects of themselves that are, more feminine energied, more cooperative, more generative, more collaborative, et cetera, right, Mary?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and you know, I just want to, you know, throw out there a couple of titles. There's a book called The Power of Partnership by Rian Eisler. She's somebody who I mentioned in a prior show that wrote this awesome book called The Chalice and the Blade, which really goes back to prehistory to explain that there were historical times that were not so rigidly and top-down, you know, structured. And in her books more recently, The Partnership Way, they're talking about a partnership model, which is, you know, kind of what Anna's talking about today, that's going on more in Europe than here. Our political system is such a mess, Anna, that I don't know if we could get it through the Congress and the Senate or whatever. But we really are looking here at more, leaning more toward a cooperative partnership model than what Eisler calls a dominator model, which is the one that's been in place traditionally for the past 50, 60, 70 years, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think some of the attitudes from women over here. I mean, yes, there's it's not as easy for women to get to the top sometimes because they just haven't started with the same attitude. They haven't learnt the same things. But I think the door is definitely open for them. But one of the things that we're coming across is a lot of the women you would expect to go up to board level, they're not interested. Because
and why
them,
is that?
It's the wrong paradigm.
I mean, getting to board level for me, my opinion personally, getting to board level is a male traditional view of what success is. It's mm-hmm. not necessarily a woman's view of what success is. But mm-hmm. we've been conditioned that that is the holy grail because
yeah.
men have been, well, they've been the leaders for so long. But now you're getting women who've got the opportunity, but from choice, they would rather do something that's more supportive or more collaborative, or for them, success is something different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not having the title of CEO or member of the board or something like that.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They want the opportunity of doing something more fulfilling to their inner passions, their nurturing, their networking abilities.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a different view. And I think Europe seems to be, well, not everywhere, but in general, it seems to be quite open on things like this. And if you think of the history of the UK, there's been strong women leaders in the UK
yeah.
going back to Boadicea. Then, you know, Queen Elizabeth I, Queen Victoria, Florence Nightingale. There's always been the image of women being strong, being determined, being able to do something big. So I don't think they've had the same fight as in some other countries because they've seen that image of a woman being capable. So
yeah.
now they feel they can have the choice. You know, they can choose mm-hmm. to have success in a different way, and it doesn't have to be just a male vision of success.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Makes sense.
What
is more natural for women's enculturation, for the way women are neurologically, hormonally enculturated, et cetera, is something that is a lot more, you know, pagoda style than,
yeah.
you know, tower style. It's a lot flatter model. It's not to say that there isn't, you know, that it's a free-for-all, you know, but I'll just read just one little thing here, a quote from this Eisler book. While linking rather than ranking is a key partnership principle, to be effective, all organizations need some hierarchies or lines of responsibility. But these hierarchies are very different in a partnership context. They are what I call hierarchies of actualization rather than hierarchies of domination. In hierarchies of actualization, group leaders empower rather than disempower others. Managers don't function as cops or controllers, but as mentors and helpful facilitators. That's
mm-hmm.
the difference
yeah.
in the energy.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the difference in the intention. Very interestingly, there's a book by two East Indian authors, Nilima Bhatt and Raj Sisodia, called Shakti Leadership, Embracing Feminine and Masculine Power in Leadership. That just came out in March of 2016. And they're actually, the word Shakti comes from Indian yogic tradition, where Shakti is a very, very strong feminine principle and a sacred feminine presence. And these authors propose an immediate need to revive the feminine archetype of leadership, which is generative, cooperative, creative, empathetic, and they seek to restore a long-lost balance for all genders alike of masculine and feminine energies. So again, there's this, you know, scholarship that goes all the way back to, you know, the prehistory, and then looking at the androgyny research in the 70s and 80s, then looking at the partnership way, which came out in the early 2000s, and then Shakti Leadership, which just came out in your book, Anna, which is just coming out. You know, there's this lineage of writing and thought that consistently says when we are balanced, we are better.
Yes.
Whether we're male or female, it does not matter. Balance is better.
That's so true. So true.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, of course, our show is about shaking it up, you know, so we, you know, we're here to say, look, you know, if it's not working, it's not working. And we're also looking at levels of stress. When women are offered, you know, the dominator model, C-suite position, whatever it may be, they're looking at the stress involved. They're going, hey, look, you know, look at what men have put up with in terms of health risks. Look at longevity levels, et cetera, et cetera. Do women want the same health issues that men have dealt with? Do they want those levels of stress? No.
Well, and actually it's worse for women. I just read an article that indicated that as women advance in leadership, women are naturally inclined to induce more stress upon themselves, so they actually have more serious health conditions than men do. And sometimes they manifest themselves, you know, 10 years down the road. But, you know, let us not forget, too, that part of that stress, at least here, and Anna, I can't speak for, you know, the UK, but there's still studies show a disproportionate amount of help that men and women share in the home environment. So, you know, women are not only working full-time plus at work, but then they come home and have a full-time job. So,
Exactly.
Yeah, because and that hasn't shifted. Too much.
And well, I know a couple of women CEOs who, luckily, they've managed to organize with their husbands that they really do share things. But I think that's very unusual. And most women, I mean, the directors that I speak to every day, the women, some of the time talking to me, it's almost like their safety valve. You know, they can say, oh, my God, how can I do this? How can I do that? I've got this project, but then I've got my children's school play and I've got to do this. And it's just, it's a different level of stress. It really...
Well, and that's the stress, too, because women really need to talk about these things. And part of the stress for women, men hold things in. That's their natural inclination. They're much more private about personal things. Women need to share things, but they can't share things in a work environment or necessarily to colleagues because, heaven forbid, they now, you know, get labeled as, you know, defective women playing the women card. You know, there's then going to be a sexist pejorative that comes to them just from them saying, look, the real facts are I have more than a full plate.
Yes.
Which my male colleague does not have necessarily. He's got a wife.
But I think there's a great argument and a future discussion about what I call the glass ceiling grands. So the grannies that they've had a slightly calmer life in maybe their 30s and early 40s bringing up kids and then coming back to work really in full flow and full power in their 50s when they can really take over and go for it because by that time men are getting burnt out.
Absolutely.
Women, they don't have the same worries. You know, they've gone through that and they can dedicate themselves totally.
Well, it's very interesting because in Christian Northrup's books, in terms of, you know, women's, you know, hormonal development, after women hit menopause, there's now a direct current of their energy that goes to them. It's not necessarily now about having children, taking care of children, et cetera, et cetera. It's now, okay, well, what do I do with my life? Son of a gun. You know, I still have lots of years before me, and now, this is a whole new order of business here. You mean I can actually think about myself? Wow, that's new.
Yeah. Well, I think, as Anna said, there's got to be a future show. Anna, I hope we can get you back.
I would love to.
This has absolutely been delightful, informative. I took pages and pages of notes. I don't know about you, Victoria, but...
I am, like, so excited. Anna has now agreed on air in front of all these people that she's going to be our global correspondent. So she's on. She's on. I'm very excited about that, Anna. Thanks. And thanks for coming on today, and thanks for, sharing so much wisdom about, the world that's larger than the world of the United States. And, in listening to you, I can really see, honestly, I have this feeling about the United States that we're like an adolescent over here, and we haven't grown up in a lot of ways. We left home, but we got one foot on the dock and one foot in the boat, and we're not quite sure what we're doing half the time, and we don't do it very effectively. So to learn from, our wise, relatives across the pond there is really important for us. So thank you for giving us that perspective.
Thank you so much for inviting me. It's an absolute
pleasure. And we're going to have you on again. And we always leave our listeners with a home play, which is kind of like a homework assignment, but it's not work. We call it a home play. Do you have any suggestions maybe for what people can do out there because you have so many great suggestions on your blogs and in your – do you have maybe an idea about what people could do, or maybe Mary, or do you have an idea about what we can leave people with to practice between now and our next show in operationalizing these ideas?
I have a suggestion. It's a very simple suggestion.
Good. But, we like simple.
Just for people to start thinking in their work life, what aspects of their job do they really enjoy? So not the actual job, but each small individual aspect, what do they really enjoy? What is mediocre and what do they definitely dislike? And then the emotion and feeling that goes with the enjoyment, why do they enjoy it? And then after that, they can gradually try and focus more on that. And if they have a task they don't like, they can think about the positive part of that task that they do enjoy. It just removes stress.
Awesome.
And daily life at work, when you really hate something, it can just give you a bit of oomph, a bit of positivity.
Absolutely. And
simple,
that's
not easy.
Well, that's awakened doing, right? We want people to lean into the things that give them life and feel like love, not stress. Thank you, Anna. Great home play. All right, everybody. Hope you were taking notes on that one. And we're going to see you in a couple of weeks with some new topics and some new shows. And Anna is now our official global correspondent. So thank you, Anna, for joining the team.
Anna, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
All right. We will talk to you, everybody, in a couple of weeks. Listen to our other shows. And do click on Anna's company link, womenupltd.com, right?
It's womenup.global.
.global, okay. And we've got a hot link on the show page with Anna's name, and you can go right to her site. So check out what she's doing and look for her new book. Okay, Anna, I hope you're having a good evening over there, and we'll talk to you very, very soon. Thank you, Mary. Thank you, Anna.
Bye, everyone.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye, everyone.